There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Child.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, you like that? That's your new warm-up? Child.
You want to keep that in?
Yeah, you just said child. Child.
It's my voice exercise is screaming the word child.
I hate it.
That's good.
I don't know if that's good, man.
I don't know.
It's because what are you saying? What child are you speaking to? Are you speaking to your child? Are you speaking to a stranger's child?
I'm speaking to Holden's child.
Someone's got to.
Oh my God. We're not going to go into details on that. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. We want to thank everyone in Des Moines, Milwaukee, Omaha, and Minneapolis. We had such a great time this past weekend. Thanks to everyone who came out and shared laughter with us.
We shared laughter, and we also, honestly, it was just nice to be in a Sprinter van.
It was fantastic.
I like being in a Sprinter van. It's fun.
Brenda,
wherever you are, we love you, girl.
Brenda was amazing. All right, we got a bunch of fun stories to get to today.
Some of them are fun.
Well, fun, yes.
Fun for us.
Fun for us to talk about, not to live.
Okay, here we go. Let's have a fun side story.
Oh,
like,
no. You want to start with this one?
Which, Joe, how do we start? Do you want to start hard or do you want to start soft?
Let's start hard.
Yeah, let's start hard. This story is a nightmare. Everybody experienced a lot of trauma in this story, and it's wild.
Yes, it is.
This is in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Police say Pennsylvania man gave cop a severed head on a platter, admitted to stabbing and dismembering his father. Now, there's a man named Donald Meshey Jr. He's an old-looking 32.
He is a very old-looking 32. He's got the short, spiky hair.
Yeah, he's got child bully hair.
He does have child bully hair. His eyes are open yet closed.
Yes.
His face isn't done yet, but yet he looks like he's 90.
He needs to go to prison, which he will.
Yes, he will.
So apparently a family friend called, and they called the police to conduct a welfare check in response to calls about this. It was an emotional subject at a residence.
Okay.
So, and I think the emotional subject was Donald Meshey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So they showed up. She said, apparently Donald Meshey Jr. in some form of, I don't know what he went to his neighbor who was a family friend and said, "What's crazy is a whole bunch of body parts in my house right now, and I don't know what to do with all this extra meat."
You know what? Good fences make good neighbors. I don't need to hear that, sir.
Well, unfortunately.
Don't. Now you're bringing me into the story.
Because
now I'm complicit, and at the very least, I've got to go look at a bunch of human body parts.
Now, this is definitely a first world problem, but when I had a bunch of extra meat, I just smoked it all off. You know what I mean? But then all of a sudden, now I'm going to the doctor, and my fucking blood pressure is up, and my cholesterol is up, and who's to fucking blame here, huh? Is it the meat? Is it me? Or is it the doctor? Because he's the one who took the fucking tests.
Yeah, that's a good point in many ways. It's such a horrible point in others. It's you.
It's definitely not the
animal that sacrificed its life to slowly kill you.
He didn't commit suicide. It's not a soldier. It's like going to Vietnam.
It's an animal's revenge. Cholesterol.
We got to beat back the cattle because next thing we know, that population, once it surges, like, it's going to get all over the highways.
Oh, I love cows.
Now, this is a 9 a.m. they get this call. So I like how this is early in the morning. The police show up and Donald Meshey Jr. just lets him in the house, right? And he's like, "Oh, you got to see, I have all these body parts. You got to check it out."
Well, he continually called them cadavers, which I guess kind of disassociates himself from them being human beings.
Well, it is like this. So
yes.
They showed up. They said, the police asked Donald Meshey Jr., "Hey, so where are these body parts? What are you talking about?" He's like, "Oh, it's right here." He then goes to the freezer of his refrigerator, opens it up.
Oh.
He takes a severed head out of the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
He then gets a plate and puts it on it so that they wouldn't have to touch it. And then he hands them the plate. And then they were like, "Oh, this is Donald. This is great. Thank you so much."
Right.
Backup. I need some backup, please. Because I don't know what you do as a cop. If you are a cop and have ever experienced anything like this before, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. What happens when you roll into like a Richard Chase type scenario when you are now looking at a person who is obviously an absolute maniac, and he's acting as if he is serving you appetizers like you're at Applebee's?
You know, I actually think it must be a nice day to be a cop. Case closed.
It's done.
We've got it. We literally have the victim's head on a platter given to us by the perpetrator. If you're a cop, thank you. And then, of course, you quickly arrest them. It reminds me of the scene from Silence of the Lambs where she realizes that she's in the killer's house. And then you're like, oh, shit. And I'm sure you kind of clench and either you release a fart or you keep it up inside of your tummy. I'm not sure. Your body would react, though.
I guess
so. As soon as you see the person open up the freezer and bring out a severed head, very cold head. I can't imagine it not being kind of traumatizing.
Oh, definitely traumatizing. And I also wonder, it's interesting how, like, they don't panic immediately shoot this guy. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
it's
this
already
is guy.
Done.
Yeah, it's already done.
It's already done.
But Meshi then said, this is the thing. There's also this, like, there's body parts in this other bed over here. And he acted as if, like, he was surprised to find it. And he said that these were parts of what he called a cadaver doll. He said that one day he came home.
Right.
And he said there was a doll in the shape of a man that spoke and listened to him, who happened to be his father. But he said at the time he had transmuted into some form of doll. And then he stabbed him, he said, for 3 minutes. And then he dismembered all the body parts himself. But then it was weird.
Right.
Because then he was surprised to find them, like he was an Alzheimer's patient at an Easter egg hunt.
Well, my goodness. And even an Alzheimer's patient at an Easter egg hunt can get lucky every now and again. You never know where they're going to hide the eggs, maybe in the bathroom.
I'm saying you can hide them from yourself.
I blame the movie The Boy for this. That movie, it triggers me.
I love the movie The Boy.
The Boy, is it a doll? Is it a boy? We still don't know. And also the movie May. Of course, in the movie May, she dismembers a whole series of different people trying to make her best friend. And perhaps that's what this man was doing, although I don't think he was looking for friendship on account that he seems to alienate everyone he's ever spoken to, because usually he talks about all the body parts in his house. So allegedly he had arms, legs, and a head in garbage bags in the basement. We don't know how many victims are involved here.
Right now they're saying it's just one. They believe that the head was in the freezer and the arms and the legs were in the basement, which I guess is good for if you have too much stuff going on in the freezer.
I
don't know where the torso is.
But the officers, doing their due diligence, they did confirm the body parts are his father. And that was a 67-year-old, and that was Donald Meshi. So Donald Meshi Jr. killed Donald Meshi Sr., but I guess, is that what happens?
Yeah.
Aren't you a junior? When do you kill your father, Henry Zebrowski Thomas Jr.?
And the silver spoon, little Paul Blue and the man on the moon.
Oh.
I didn't know that was going to be what that song is actually about. But Donald Meshi Jr. definitely looks like a guy that you have played some form of online game against.
Oh, absolutely.
But he's going to be in jail now for a period of time. Obviously, he's still, he is charged with the crime and he is presumed innocent, but I think that it's gonna be pretty easy to figure out the culprit. Much like how OJ is so afraid to ever come visit LA again because he's like, basically, if I sit down in a restaurant, I don't know if I'm gonna be sitting next to the guy who did it.
Absolutely, and of course, OJ always sitting next to the guy who did it if he is sitting next to a mirror. So, interestingly enough, I actually watched the movie Seven last night.
Great.
Fantastic.
Was it relaxing?
Strangely, yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gwyneth Paltrow, my love for her has faded a little bit.
Yes.
Although she is still stunning and beautiful.
Oh, she's beautiful. She's a great actress.
Yes.
Yeah, her pussy smells great, according to the candles.
According to the candles.
And I've heard endless reports from her on the blind items I read that she's a lovely woman.
I'm actually sure.
Self-effacing. Maybe she likes the crystals a bit too much. And maybe she's trying to, bend the minds of a bunch of 30-year-old white women with her goop line. But I don't know, maybe when it comes down to it, what's merch if it's not used to destroy our society?
Absolutely. And of course, the candle has been known to start fire. So be very careful with the candle.
It's got pop and crackle in it.
It got crackle and popple in it. Be very, very careful with Gwyneth Paltrow's pussy candle. However, what's in the guac?
What's in the guac? It's avocado.
Absolutely.
Better not be yogurt. Because when they started doing that, when the Fab Five did that, and when what's his name? The guy who's obviously not a chef, who's just the model, who put a bunch of yogurt inside the guacamole. I just was, and I'm not even Mexican, and I was offended.
Well, of course. Well, Donald Meshi Jr., 32. He is, of course, accused of homicide and running a horrible, horrible restaurant.
Oh man,
Who wants to eat it? You would probably take a bit of the cheek meat, though, wouldn't you?
People have always accused me of Henry. You'll eat anything, Henry. Oh, you fucking. They should say gourmand, but they do seem to hint that I'm some sort of hoggish figure. But I'll tell you what, man, I would eat ethically sourced human meat.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah, so it has to be somebody I don't like, or it has to be tofu, because that was that. Remember, there was that short period of time that people were making food or like tofu style meat that was made to taste like other things, and one of them was human meat, but they just cheated and made it taste like pork. So it doesn't fucking matter. You're not really eating it. You don't know if you're eating human meat. Most of the time, if you go to some edgy restaurant that's going to serve you human meat, I bet you it's not even going to be that. They're just going to be lying, try to appear to be more metal than whoever fucking whatever burger restaurant they're next to.
Well, I certainly hope it's not human meat, because then somebody would have to die, wouldn't they?
Well, unless they already died, and honestly, because once you're dead, we are just meat.
Well, speaking of dead, this next story takes place in Mercer County in Ohio. Now, the meat on these three boys might be a little bit tainted. This story is very unfortunate.
This is like a nightmare.
It really is. It's about three brothers, and I have two brothers, so there's three of us too.
God.
So isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Anyway, they died because they got stuck in a manure pit.
Yeah.
And they were overcome by fumes.
Yes.
The deceased brothers, Gary, Todd, and Brad Woopker. The rescue crews tried to find them, but they weren't there in time, and they died. They were found unconscious in a sea of manure, which is not fun. What is it in the feces that kills you?
It's a gas that comes off. It's like carbon monoxide. Two of them, they died of asphyxiation. They're not quite sure how the third one died, but I think it was the poo-poo flu. But also, man, that is the single scariest thing on the face of the planet, I guess. You know what? There's been a couple of scenarios that have come up this last couple of months that are scarier than this. But also just the idea of drowning in a giant vat of shit.
Right.
That is like the one real thing that keeps me from being a farmer.
Yeah, that's it.
Besides the early mornings and the hard work.
The milking.
I'll milk.
Yeah, but really, I don't know if you understand the process of milking. It's not quite as erotic as you think it might be. No,
I just get some of that fresh. You get some of that fresh.
Straight from the teat.
Oh, yeah. You crawl on down there. Woo, it's supposed to be sweet.
I think your cows are going to have a union complaint. So you smell the manure. Goes up into your brain.
Yes.
Then your brain is like, we got to shut off. And then just a fate that no one dying deserves. Falling then face first, theoretically, in a pile of shit.
Well, if you're dead already, then you don't know.
I think you pass out and then you might drown in it.
Yeah, I mean, that is the kindest way that goes, because it's better than falling in while you're alive and then you slide through all of the piles of manure to the bottom and then can't get back to the top. And then you asphyxiate inside of it. That is worse.
The brothers were in there. They were trying to fix the manure pump. Manure pump, which I guess is sort of the anus of the farm.
I guess
you want to get the shit out. I don't know where it goes.
I don't know. I mean, when it comes down to, should manure be outside? But also, man, this is another thing I think is an important lesson here. Never send all three of the next line into the manure pump. Like, send one in. Send the weakest son. Send the other two. You need to keep someone to run the farm. Now you got to think about that with the Parks' family. We should ask them how their manure pump is. And when they better all be careful, because they all have families. And Marcus needs to be on the show. So we can't have Marcus being slid into some manure pump just because he's the last of the line.
Absolutely not. Marcus is not allowed near any amount of feces other than Georgie's little poopies.
And Marcus is allowed to be near his own shit.
Yes, he is. So yeah, it's hydrogen sulfide and carbon monoxide. That's what they huffed. And that's when they fell in to a pile of manure. It reminds me, Naked Gun, I've been swimming in raw sewage.
I love it. It also reminds me of Back to the Future.
Because
I actually just watched that last night. We went to we hired a little private theater, because you could do that here in Burbank. And we went to see Back to the Future for Jackie's birthday.
Oh, indeed. So nice.
Jackie's 34 years fun.
Wow, she's still a baby.
There she is.
Live from your grave.
This is a fun story. This is a more fun story before we get into another depressing story. This is from the website phantomsandmonsters.com. It was a really cool, honestly, I was like, I like their coverage of it. It's good cryptid news. I can't speak to the other articles in it, but this was really funny. This is another we have now, again, with the last 2 years, we've covered so many different stories of flying humanoids.
So many, whether they be the Rocket Man out here in L.A., what we've seen in Chicago.
Yes, the Mothman. There's a lot of mysterious things in the sky, and I don't really know what is up, but this one is another really, like, it's a clear-eyed sighting of something that definitely should not have been there.
Ooh.
7-foot-tall, yellow-eyed, winged being observed at Wisconsin State Fair. This is very, very interesting. And this comes from an actual first-person, first-person description of the beast.
Also, we have to clarify as well, the Wisconsin State Fair, when people saw this air quotes demon, that's what some people are referring to it as, a Christian rock band was performing. The name of that Christian rock band, Skillet, which has nothing to do. There's some
like jars of mud or like feet in the sand or Jesus is my asshole or some bullshit where it's like Skillet. I don't really understand how hash browns have anything to do with Jesus Christ.
It's the worst Christian band name I've ever heard.
Awful. Maybe it's like Home Skillet. Do you remember that term? So here we go. This comes from the mouths of babes. It's a young college student that actually saw this creature.
Okay.
I was with another person who was about my age. We were talking about the concert that I let out about two hours
before. That's Wisconsinist.
Yeah. No, what do you mean? It's just done.
We were just in Wisconsin, and how many people were like, oh, we don't have an accent. You have an accent.
That is bigoted against my people. I don't appreciate that. It was very nice when I got to mention the word plague on stage, and then Marcus tried to make fun of me in Milwaukee, not realizing I'm in the land of the long A.
No, it was honestly nice to be in the big, thick bosom of the Midwest.
One of my partners suddenly yelled, "What the fuck is that?" I looked up and there were about 30 feet in front of us towards the parking lot was what looked like a very tall man.
That's a turn Irish.
But yeah. It wasn't like any person that I've ever seen before. It was about 7 feet tall and thin, but still looked very solid. It was coal black and had two glowing yellow eyes, and it had bat-like wings. Literal fucking wings.
It's bat.
Bat. Bat-like wings.
It's like Boston fucked some,
I don't know,
horrible person in a retirement home.
Yes.
And this is what, the accent.
I'm sorry.
Literal fucking wings. That must have stretched out 12 feet from tip to tip coming out its back.
You're making people in Wisconsin angry. That's why everyone's like, oh, people in the Midwest are so nice. No, we have a hair trigger. So if we don't plaster on the smile, it just turns deadly very quickly.
Honestly,
so don't anger them.
Most people from the Midwest are kind of chilly until you get to know them.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'll go back to normal so we can you can hear the description of this character. It was about 7 feet tall and thin, but looked very solid. It was coal black and had two glowing yellow eyes.
Ooh.
And it had bat-like wings. Literal fucking wings, right?
Yes.
So this thing looked like a demon from the depths of hell. So apparently this thing was in the parking lot and it was fascinated with a bunch of other people striking what was, I guess, like where the parking shit was.
They were out there cleaning up trash by the main stage. A lot of PBRs,
a lot of
Glarus, a lot of probably vomit as well,
I imagine. So this thing apparently took a couple steps towards the stage.
Ooh.
It looked like it wasn't all that steady on its feet, but I wasn't close enough to see what its feet looked like. It stood there for about 10 seconds before it turned its head and looked right at us.
Whoa.
The air felt like it was drained straight out of my lungs, and I felt an overwhelming sense of terror. Not fear, but absolute terror. Like my life was going to end right then and there, and this thing was going to snatch my soul and drag it down to hell. This is all judgmental.
Well, it's a little bit judgmental just because the Mothman has kind of creepy eyes and wings.
He's trying to warn you. He's trying to help humankind.
We don't know. At this point, and correct me if I'm wrong, Henry, I don't think the Mothman has a kill list.
Has the Mothman
killed anybody yet?
As an entity, the Mothman is a harbinger of doom. So when you see a cryptid like this...
But doesn't that mean a warning?
That's what I'm saying. I believe the Mothman is entirely innocent. I think the Mothman is just there as a function of the psychic crisis that it understands that it's trying to send to you.
So do you think there's maybe something going on with the Christian rock band Skillet?
I think that's...
And maybe the Mothman was there to warn the band... Maybe one of the members has been huffing paint and another member looked at pornography and one member didn't do their prayers last night. So they're going to be some kind of monster and they're going to need to go to therapy like Metallica.
I think that Skillet should break up. I think that would help all of us. So this thing, it stood there for 10 seconds. The air felt like it was drained out of their lungs, and then it flapped its wings rapidly a couple of times, almost like it was stretching them out, and then took off into the air and was gone. It was swallowed up by the night and was done in a matter of a few milliseconds. But it's interesting because then the investigator of the website followed up and asked this person all a bunch of questions, mm-hmm. and then they answered it very thoroughly, and their partner is too scared to come out and say on the record what they saw as well. So it seemed to really freak people out.
Yeah, it would be one of those where I don't know if I drop my beer or slam my beer. I might just take a nap. I think I'd be like fight or flight. I think I'm more of like a curl up and sleep it off. And then who's going to kill me when I'm sleeping? You didn't want to hit a man with glasses, would you? I feel like that's a great defense. Just curl up and take a freaking nap. That's what I would do if I saw this.
What happens if you see a brown bear? You're supposed to lay down on the ground.
Aww.
But these flying entities, I don't know what they are, why they are so prevalent right now. I don't know why.
No
they
idea.
Are, they are everywhere.
Oh, but this man, we don't need more harbingers of doom.
I mean,
I don't
the
want
doom
any
is
more
here.
Harbingers of doom.
Yeah, the doom, we don't. The harbingers of doom were technically all in February of 2020. We're in the doom now. Also on 9/11. Now we're here, you know, the result of the whatever the 20-year forever war that we are, our entire generation had to deal with. Half of our entire lives.
And of course, we'll be talking about the Taliban and all the exciting things happening in the Middle East from our perspective on top at just the human perspective. Of course, I've never been on the ground.
Okay. Oh, you haven't been to war?
No, believe it or not, they didn't want me.
But I actually made a list of other Wisconsin cryptids.
Well, we've got the Hodag.
There is a bunch of... tell me about the Hodag. The Hodag? I have no clue what this is. I've never heard of this before. I saw this on this list. It is a creature that apparently it has the head of a frog,
yep.
the grinning face of a giant elephant, thick short legs set off by huge claws, the back of a dinosaur, and a long tail with spears at the end, which just sounds like a mayor's wife.
Well, or the mayor themselves. The Hodag it's extremely famous in Wisconsin. I actually thought that this was more of a nationwide cryptid.
No, it's not. Technically, it is a very famous hoax, but it is very important to the... Rhinelander? Where is Rhinelander?
Rhinelander.
Yeah.
It's in Wisconsin.
Yeah, is that a town in Wisconsin?
I believe it's north of Stevens Point. We wrestled Rhinelander. I defeated that heavyweight contender. And Rhinelander, the town, if you go... It's almost, it's not quite like Point Pleasant or like where you see...
Mothman, like West Virginia?
Not Mothman. Or
Flatwoods Monster, like southern New Jersey, northern Pennsylvania?
A little bit like that.
Oregon, where the Bigfoot is, or Florida...
Are you trying to have sex with me?
No,
are you
I'm trying just to saying, with me? If you want to talk about that, you got to be specific about the area of the country.
I was thinking Loch Ness.
Scotland.
In the way that they completely... marketed their entire town around
yes,
him.
Yes, I see
Rhinelander,
this statue is great.
The statue is great, and the town talks about it. It's not quite as prevalent, again, as Loch Ness, but if you go to Rhinelander, you go to a bar, and you talk about the Hodag, you will have people who say they saw it. You will have people, even though it is, air quotes, a hoax, people now, they imagine it. And in Wisconsin, there are a lot of crazy animals in those woods.
Well, you do.
So you never know when the Hodag is going to come for you and your family.
There's multiple lake cryptids in Wisconsin. You got the Rocky of Rock Lake. Oh, this is me just doing fan service in Wisconsin. So everyone go like, they said mine. That was mine. There's the Devil's Lake Monster.
Yes.
Was it Baraboo? Is it Baraboo?
Baraboo. Of course, we actually passed Baraboo on our trip there. This is very exciting content. But Baraboo is where they have the Kissel Car Museum. If you ever want to go see the defunct Kissel Cars, the person who created the Kissel Car loved two-wheel cars and a bunch of cars that evidently would explode.
Yeah, they were not well-made cars.
Apparently not, because they went out of business, but they are in a museum. So yes,
but the one thing the area does have that is prevalent is what we've covered on other shows is thunderbirds.
Yes.
The idea of giant birds.
Yes.
And so that is obviously a part of what we talked about whenever we talk about flying humanoids, because you never know, like, is it just one of these giant birds? Is there a possibility for some form of older bigger bird, like that was maybe that
like a dinosaur,
something like that, like deep in the forests of Wisconsin.
That's the great thing about going, not to just blow the Midwest, but the summer in the Midwest is so nice.
That was the nicest time to be there.
Oh, it was so perfect. But there's so much woods, there's so much greenery, there's so much land, and there is wildlife, and there are people constantly out there, whether it be hunting season or just farming, they're looking up to the skies. Crazy stories come from the old drunken eyes of a good old Wisconsinite.
And this is where I'll push back, because I think some people say like, oh, they're just all fucking drunk. But there are some times when I'm more right when I'm drunk than when I'm sober.
Yeah, it's all
85% of the time I'm better, smarter, faster when I'm drunk versus sober.
Absolutely.
You've seen me.
Of course I
have. You see my superpower. I'm like Popeye.
You do get stronger as you were able to drift me across the street in, I think it was maybe Philadelphia a few years back, when I literally fell out of an Uber and you drugged me across the street.
We're back there, baby. I can't wait to get your unconscious body into a hotel room again.
I can't wait. Also, just a little follow-up on Skillet, the Christian rock band. They formed in 1996. Oh. It's a husband and wife band.
Oh, and then there's I hate that.
Yeah, like, that's John Cooper and Corey Cooper. And then,
can we play a sample of Skillet?
Well, they did receive Grammy nominations for their songs Collide and Comatose. And they're certified platinum album? And double platinum.
I'm gonna put my cans on. Can we play a little bit of Skillet?
They have a song called Monster. Let's hear this song, Monster, by Skillet. Uh-huh. Oh, they just tapped into the Christian market.
This is, I hate this. Get this off. Just shut this off. Get this off.
Oh my God.
Absolute garbage. Can't believe it. We gave it airtime. I mean, we're keeping it in so you know.
You know it wasn't.
And obviously now maybe we'll get, maybe the Skillet army is going to come after us.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it could be. I've been to some Christian rock concerts back when I was forced to go in the cool Christian scene. There's nothing worse than it's like, yeah, Jesus doesn't mind tattoos. Also, Jesus doesn't mind body piercings. Look at his wrists. I don't want to talk about it.
I just had such like, I that's had what like they do, almost bro. A seizure.
That's what they do. But of course, the messages are all the exact same when it comes to atrocious ideals of religion.
Okay, this is a story that is also about the repercussions of Christianity, but it's a much sadder story. Oh. And it's really a fucked up tale that just shows, you know what? We as a country need, what if there's a 3-day break from the internet? I mean, besides us, you still listen to us. Our stuff gets physically downloaded onto your show, onto your tablets or whatever.
Speaking of religion, ironically, I do like the idea of just one day off.
One day off.
Disconnect and refresh, restart your brain. The whole country, the whole world needs just one day. Let's restart.
Just a walk away moment.
What normal was, because this ain't it.
Honestly, it's not, because you got to get off the internet because it's driving people insane.
This story is so sad because it involves children being hurt.
But this guy, Matthew Taylor Coleman, he was quote unquote enlightened by QAnon to kill his two kids, and they were toddlers. They were young kids, and it was all in the name of QAnon. But I don't even know how he got here.
I don't know how he got here either. I followed Q fairly closely in a political sense, but now Q is
it's gone. It's hack. It's over. Q is over. It needs to stop.
It's not just political anymore.
No, it's full RPG. And it went past, it's been a LARP for the last 5 years, but now it is just full on just sci-fi. Like it's got nothing to do with any branch of reality. Q is not real. It's barely even relevant. Whatever it was hasn't posted since January. It's over.
Isn't it just the guy?
Watkins and his son. It's the two of them. It's the Watkins family.
They're just following this ugly, nerdy incel and his dad?
Yes.
I don't.
Okay. It's the same shit.
All right.
But he was enlightened because what he said is that he believed that his wife possessed serpent DNA.
Oh my
and
God.
She had passed it to the children. And so he killed them with a spear gun.
Okay.
So he killed, because he is a
surf instructor.
A surf instructor. And so he had it. He drove down to Mexico to do it.
Okay, so did he think that's going to be like what happens in Mexico stays in Mexico? Did he think that was like, where'd the kids go? Oh, you just left them in Mexico? Was this
There is an interesting balance.
Or was he trying to go catch some big waves after he did it? Because this man, what's so scary about this story is when I think of surfers, I still think like Point Break and I think like hot bods, cool dudes. I always want, if I was into the boys, I'd be down at the beach looking at the surfer boys.
They're cool. I love it. And use you as a board.
It's a good surf.
Practice on me. Tell me, are you looking at me? I can swim like an alpha. Come on, buddy.
I just don't think usually of like in shape surfer people to be the ones who are going to go kill their children with a spear gun because they believe that QAnon told them that they have serpent DNA. It just shows you how widespread this disgusting cultish phenomenon is.
I think that it actually infects the crunchy.
Yeah.
Just as much as the evangelicals. It's what we keep talking about, yeah. how the anti-vax people are just, it's dudes with fucking like conch shell necklaces, like the puka shell necklaces,
Jenny McCarthy.
Fucking the far, far right. It's this very, very strange thing where those two worlds touch tips and he is right in the middle of it.
Yes.
Where it's unbelievable because he actually wrote something like vaguely normal on his last post where he said that he believed that we were living in some form of COVID dark ages and then maybe that once we're past this time period we would have a new renaissance, just like when we talked about how the Black Plague set the stage for the Renaissance, which actually sounds like he's acknowledging COVID and he's like he's in the world of sense kind of, but he wouldn't post about his hidden beliefs, which is that he had this idea of what I don't know what chapter of QAnon says it talks about serpent DNA. I'm not quite sure. But he took the kids down to Mexico because it's both highly planned and impulsive and completely stupid, right? So the plan was wrong because he thought he'd drive to Mexico because that would throw people off the scent, even though he immediately confessed to the police that he did it after his wife, when he disappeared, his wife called the police and said that my husband and my family have been missing for 24 hours. He drove down to Mexico. He checked into a hotel with the two kids. You could see it in a security cam. He's got the two kids with them. He goes to sleep. They wake up at dawn. They see him leaving with the two kids. About 4 hours later, he comes back without the kids. And he just left them in a field. Both were murdered with the spear gun. And then they were basically stabbed over and over again with a wooden stake. And then he left them out there. It's just this. And then he came back, I think, thinking that he could just do it. There's this idea, too, that we're stuck in, that because they believe on some level that what they're doing is righteous or a part of some massive mystical quest, that they can just show back up and the police won't arrest them. Like, they'll be like transparent to repercussions.
Yes, they're almost cloaked in their own insanity. So the agents, they discovered the bodies, again, of a 10-month-old and a 2-year-old. Devastating. And the agents immediately called the border guards and they're like, yo, this dude's going to be coming back to the United States at some point soon. And he was arrested right there at the port of entry. So I can't imagine. I don't know anything about the wife. I just can't imagine that she thought this was going to be happening. And what a horribly sad story. Be so careful. And it's hard. We were talking about this during our Q&A and thanks for all the great questions. You wonder if someone could have just like helped him somehow to be like, yo, bro, this isn't the right direction you should be going. Or as you mentioned before, Henry, like, I guess if he kept all of this stuff inside until he didn't. And when he like chose to let his when he chose to not hide his love under a bushel, his flame under a bushel. It ended in double murder.
I don't know what the hell happened here. I'm certain more information will come out because it didn't seem like he was posting Q shit. It just seemed that he's a part of one of these like new churches, right? Like one of these like weird where like
the ones that listen to Skillet,
stuff like that. That environment where it's very much like, you know, I don't know how to put it, where it's like younger people in it, and it's not Catholicism or some form of Protestant
new Jesus. I don't know. It's all bullshit.
But he was very vocal about his Christianity and constantly posting about God and how beautiful his wife is and how beautiful his kids are, and like he's very, very like overwrought posts about like filled with like weird surfer jargon and like modern Christian jargon. And I don't really know where the Q shit fits in.
Right. And again, you know, if religion has helped you, that's fantastic. No judgies. Truly, whatever you have to do to survive this world, the only thing that I always remind myself is they're not your true friends if all of a sudden you show up and you're like, I don't really believe this, and then they get mad at you and they kick you out, and that's one of those things that I don't like. I don't believe there's a
it's all been truth. Fake then. It really has been fake.
It has all been fake. And just not to get too much in the details, but so the daughter, she was shot in the heart with the spear gun. And then he shot his son, but apparently his son didn't die right away. So then he shot him several times with a fucking spear gun. Coleman claimed that he hurt his hand in the process. Oh, poor guy.
But he, so that's weird, because he folded immediately.
Had a chance, but like his son didn't die right away. So theoretically he had a chance to be like, no, this is not right. It's just disgusting.
There's a phenomenon that we talk about with family annihilators that, I mean, it's very like YouTube-y, so take it as you will, but the concept of covert narcissism, where Chris Watts, when he killed his family, it's the same thing where he had to kill his kids twice. The first time it didn't take, and so he had to do it again. So he had the opportunity to stop and be bounced out of whatever the fuck had taken over his mind. But obviously a switch gets flipped. And right. At some point, you live this whole life as the stereotypical, cool, great dad that's always there and super into all your kids or whatever. And maybe that's a construct. That's the fake dude. There's somebody else in there that is this resentful person that is views all of the people around him as essentially a nuisance, as somebody that's holding the people that are holding them back. Right. And they decide they're not people anymore, because that's what it is. It's very similar to the Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell case, where they made the weird inner choice for themselves. They said, our kids are zombies now, so they're not people anymore. We can do whatever we want to them.
Right.
So it dehumanizes them. And in my mind, it's like, are they truly sick? Or is it also just this way to validate a thing that you also are having an impulse to do? It's like, is Q really something he really believes in? Or is this guy just a family annihilator that found a thing that became an excuse for him to do the family annihilating, so he would kind of save himself the blame and the guilt?
Well, he'll have a lot of time to think about it.
Rise from your grave.
All right, definitely a much, much lighter story. This dude, there was a dude with a foot fetish, right?
Yeah, I love this.
This story is amazing. So other countries have this thing called the National Health Service that evidently you can call, right?
Yeah, whatever, man. I guess if you want to be weak, you can see a doctor. Sure.
So this dude admitted to making hundreds of nuisance calls to the National Health Service's 111 line in order to indulge in his sexual foot fetish. This guy's name is Richard William Cove. He's 45. He's from West Sussex. He made 1,200 calls, costing the National Health Service $21,000. And what he would do, he pretended to be an elderly woman, and he would ask the call. He would ask call handlers about their feet.
I heard, excuse me, I've got a bit of emergency, young man. Tell me, how stinky are them toes? I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack. Please come and remove your shoes when you come in, if you will.
Well, according to people who took some of the calls, they say that his calls were for his own enjoyment and personal benefit.
Yes.
According to PC Quail, he said that he had a sexual foot fetish, which he indulged during most of the calls. The investigation began in 2019, which means there was some true detective
There's
work.
There's a lot of money put into this.
2 years of investigating the guy who calls, trying to get you to discuss your feet so he can come.
Yes, do I have an emergency? Could you please pour some coffee grounds in your feet? So it look like they're all covered in messy, messy dirt that I have to clean with my mouth.
Well, is that not a health issue?
If I'm going to court and I'm
this guy, it kept him alive.
But how do you do without the... Let me ask this, okay? Use your brain to try to exercise this.
No.
With the foot fetish, maybe I'm wrong. Isn't the goal to see the feet? Right? I guess you can hear people describe their toes.
Maybe he's looking on the internet feet.
But my thing is that, like, what is the, not the, like, what are you jerking off to when you call and you say, like, do you call and say, like,
I wish you'd come and suck on my feet, bitch. Or do you call, like, do you just hear someone describe feet, or do you describe your feet to them? Because I thought with a foot fetish, you like to see the feet. You like to see them either dirty or clean. You like to smell the feet. Like, it's like tactile. You like to lick the toes. You like to scrape the heel. You know, you'd suck on it. You get the, sometimes you get dirty socks and you sniff on them.
All I know is if I can find somebody whose foot fetish involves just rubbing my feet, then I will be the happiest man on earth. If that's somebody's fetish, which I know for a fact.
Sidestories, LPOTL@gmail.com. Are you willing to massage Kissel's feet? Not willing. For
they
free?
Would, if they love it to the point where I'd say, stop with the foot massages already. But I don't think I would ever say that. So this investigation lasted from April 2019 to April 2021.
A lot of man hours on that.
A lot of man hours. Evidently, they say he made false personal details, false telephone numbers, and false ailments. So he'd be like, I got an itchy throat. Not them feet. I just don't think it's the worst thing I've ever heard anyone do.
It's just strange. It's very interesting. It is very specific. And I don't know why it had to be police and ambulances. And that's very interesting. And also, again, how you do it without seeing them feet?
I don't know. Well, either way, he's going to be sentenced. Coming up September 13th, they say the nature of the calls have caused a lot of unnecessary distress to our staff who are working tirelessly to get people the help they require.
I get it. It's a waste of time. I know that it's wrong, but I just am trying to figure out how does the fetish part work.
We're going to have to ask him. We're going to have to ask
him. If you're out there, email us. Speaking of emails, I want to talk about an issue that came up last week. And I just want to say the amount of response.
Stuff? Oh, my God.
Yes. So I mentioned how I ate butter as a child. We talked about in the Q&A, because it came up in every single Q&A.
A lot of butterheads out there.
I did eat butter as a child. I did like eating the crunchy crock, the country crock. I like a margarine. That's what we had as a child. Because my parents were part of the 90s, everything's diet.
It's not phase. Even food.
It's not. It was awful. But I did like it. I like the taste of butter. I used to take a little spoon of it, right? So let me just describe what happened to our emails. When I said, hey, email us if you like to eat butter. First of all, I'm kind of emotional about the support I got, because I really did.
It was too much support.
The whole community got together and they really made it. I heard you and I love you for it. I want to say thank you for seeing me, for acknowledging me.
This is not your moment. This is not a moment for you. Also, we did a Q&A during our Q&As. We did do a test. We polled Des Moines, Minneapolis, Milwaukee.
Yes, looking for butterheads, yeah.
And Omaha. Des Moines, congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
So Iowa, many butterheads.
I want to say probably 800 butterheads in Des Moines.
Yes.
It is wild.
Milwaukee was a nice, just a good, humble, maybe 20%. Minneapolis, they're a little too, they're liars.
Yeah, they're liars. They're a little like, we're the big city.
Des Moines, they love their butter.
So here are the breakdowns, because Joel broke down these emails that we received. We have, and there's now more than this, 250 confirmed butter eaters, right? And then some people also say eating margarine, which is good, you know.
There's that counts, three, margarine and butter. We'll it does count. Couple the two.
Three people said they never eat butter. Right, which
good.
Is interesting. That's never eat butterers. That's fine, whatever. Okay, I guess you just got mad. Number one, someone emailed that said that they eat whole blocks of cream cheese, who seemed to have misunderstood the prompt of the email.
Well, the cream cheese is, that's, I mean, the whole block,
it's not
is
butter.
Not normal.
No,
but
that's not good.
But it's, at least it's something that you can eat.
And there was,
as opposed to butter,
one single email that says, I compulsively eat butter, but I hate it.
That's hell. That is hell on earth.
I don't know. And everyone's saying there was the most common way of eating butter is by chomping into sticks, followed by spoonfuls, followed by slicing slivers, by eating it with the little pads. If you just cut the little pads off it, eat it. And then I do say Joel did include in this a fair number of judgy whiners who complain about watching people eat butter. Which also, like, well, how'd you get into this scenario? Because if you're mad about this, if you're mad about watching people eat butter, how'd you get yourself into a scenario where you're just watching people eat pure butter?
Bro, you're just hanging out. All of a sudden, dude opens up the fridge, grabs a stick of butter. You just stare at him. but you're in his house.
You're in his house.
So
is he paying rent?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And then it's like, is this worth throwing away a whole friendship for? What if you find out it's your spouse? All of a sudden, you didn't know that you married a butterhead. And now next thing you know, there's butter everywhere. Butter's in bed. They're buttering you up. They want to make you a turkey like Jerry Seinfeld or like Kramer did on Seinfeld. I don't know what I would do. I don't think it's grounds for divorce.
No, I mean,
but it
it's
might
a
be
lot.
Grounds to like. Don't have butter in the house.
But the thing is about eating the butter, and I'm going to put this out there because we're an educational podcast, is that you got to watch, again, your cholesterol. And that's why I did stop eating butter. I'm reformed. I do. I mean, I eat a fuck ton of butter, but I don't eat butter on its own because I know that it will affect my heart one day. And I knew I had to move past it. So you know what I moved on to?
What?
Olive oil. But same thing about
what?
Olive oil. I can drink an entire shot glass of olive oil.
You are so much. It's so much worse.
No,
dude.
It's not. That makes me fucking European. That makes me like.
No, Europeans don't take shots of olive oil.
Now
we're going to get olive oil. I mean, the butter.
Olive oil is incredible. Olive oil has like there's so many flavors of olive oils. There's so many different ways you can put like little things of sage in there and make it sage olive oil. You could make it like I got some serrano pepper olive oil. Ooh, I like it because then also you get a nice loaf of bread.
Well,
yeah,
if you
olive
put
oil,
the bread,
a little
the
bit.
Bread
yeah, that's
makes
what you
sense.
Want. I'm just saying.
But you said
you
take a shot of it.
I could. I don't often.
Okay. All right. Well. Just lastly here, in as far as stories go, and we're going to cover this as it continues on. Robert Durst.
He's finally getting tried.
78 years young. He looks like prison.
He does not. He looks like a cadaver. He looks like a cadaver doll, whatever that man did.
One of the only impressions I ever did. Spelled Beverly wrong. Oh, man. I can't. I spelled Beverly wrong. That's kind of good.
That's,
Call me now.
Call me now.
All right. I spelled Beverly wrong. So he is on trial for one of his murders. This involves Susan Berman. I'm sure whoever watched The Jinx, you will remember Susan Berman.
Yes.
She was killed in the year 2000 at the age of 55 in her Los Angeles home. He wrote a letter. He basically admitted to doing it. And then this is what Durst had to say during testimony. He says, I have difficulty believing it myself. It's very difficult to believe, to accept that I wrote the letter and did not kill Susan Berman. So he's trying to pretend
that's not how you defend yourself, buddy.
No, he's like, I wrote the letter, but he didn't do it. He's probably all over the place. To be fair.
I think he's not all the way there.
To be fair, I think he's having a great time in prison, judging by the photos. I don't know. I mean, he's 78. He's going to be dead very soon. He says, I decided that instead of calling 911, I would send the police a letter telling them that Susan was dead in her house.
No, he's full of shit. Robert Durst has no clue what he's talking
about. And then he says, I spelled Beverly wrong. The handwriting of the note and the same spelling matched the letter from Durst. And that is, of course, where the dude from The Jinx was like, I think we got him. Although I talk to myself all the time in the bathroom.
I do, too.
And I'll be like, I can't tell you how many times I've been like, I'd fucking kill him, man. I'd kill him again. But I didn't kill anyone.
That's very frightening.
When you're in the bathroom,
you have to keep saying, I didn't kill anyone.
I didn't kill anyone. I
mumble to myself all the time. And I could see if he really is the truly impulsive dude, that say they'd be like, I murdered him all. Like when he did that whole thing, when he said that, like, you know, he might be doing it to like, because he had like an intrusive thought and then it just spilled out of his mouth. But, you know. Again,
most
doesn't
of us,
look good.
No, and most of us don't have a body count.
No.
Durst, so he is just to keep track here, Berman, he killed Susan Berman. He also definitely killed his wife, although he was not charged with that. That's Kathleen McCormick. That was in 1982.
Yes.
And then, of course, he killed his neighbor and dismembered him and somehow got off because of self-defense. So he's got three. So this man is a
He's going to die in jail.
Oh, definitely. But anyway, so we'll keep you up to date if there's anything cool that comes out of that case. Also, The Jinx, that documentary, it was so good. And I think it did kind of kick off some good documentaries when it comes to true crime. He also told the court that, quote, I was hiding from Jeanine Pirro, she was the district attorney at Westchester, and now she's a Fox News host. And I know Jeanine, and she's fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah.
She's one of the craziest people I've ever seen. And the idea that she had any power is really, really scary.
Yeah, it's not good.
So anyway, there you go. Robert Durst. He's back.
They're going to throw the fucking book at him, I think, at some point.
I mean,
I think
it's
about time. Who knows? I mean, I might be wrong, but I do believe that they're going to.
The thing about him is, what's kind of interesting is he's not giving up fighting.
No, I mean, because like, no, he's a very proud man. I think that it's going to be kind of similar to how they did get Bill Cosby, but then they all fucked up. Where it's going to finally, it's about the principle of the thing. At some point, these guys, especially for this long, it'll take a lot for him to get off, I think.
I have no idea how he comes, but I'm sure that he is having fun.
Best broadcaster
in jail. All right, everyone, let's do Hero of the Week. All right, the heroes. Henry did point out that trash people, trash men, have been the heroes the past couple
like
of weeks.
Like 3 weeks, yeah. But that's true. I mean, honestly, they are heroes.
They're on the front lines of like...
I think you might have did a flight attendant last time. Oh, and I did a funny bit on the plane where I said, hey, look, hey, don't worry, I brought duct tape in case you need any help. And he did laugh, so I did good.
Well, sticking with the theme, a trash company, they found $25,000
yes.
in a discarded freezer. But you know what? Maybe they work in trash, but they're not trash. Because they said this $25,000 isn't ours.
It's very nice, because that would... I know that's always like the morality test of like, would you take it? And I was like... Yeah, I'd fucking take it.
Yes. So, unbeknownst to the relatives, this grandmother stashed $25,000 in the freezer, which is like hilarious that she was hoarding all of that money. And then they threw away the refrigerator. And then all of a sudden, she's like, where the heck is all my money? And then the trash people, they opened up the freezer and they didn't find a severed head. They found $25,000. And they were like, oh, my God, we better get to this. We better get this back to the people that that own it. Otherwise, they're going to die.
That's very nice.
It was really nice. But they almost didn't find this. They almost didn't find the money because the refrigerator was on its way to the landfill. And then when they get to the landfill, they just dump a bunch of dirt on it and then it's gone forever. But then the person was like, oh no, I gotta find this truck that has this refrigerator because there's $25,000 in there. So this dude, Gary Cappin, he tracked down the driver who was yet to drop off the goods. The truck was diverted to a nearby recycling center where its 6-ton cargo of garbage was disgorged on the tarmac, and a crew of 10 stalwart workers immediately began sifting through the mountain to find the buried treasure. Isn't that amazing?
And honestly, they gave it back. Are you fucking better? Honestly, tip them out, because that's what I would say.
Oh,
you give
absolutely.
Them a little jump.
Absolutely. And also, just a runner up, the center of the yellow flower is actually a lifeline to the
it's
farmers.
It's not even
the
a hero. You're just talking about a fucking flower. This isn't Fern Gully. They can't speak. No, a flower can't be a hero.
A flower can be a hero because right now the yellow center of the Chrysanthemum sempervirens, it contains one of the world's greatest natural insecticides.
It doesn't matter because it can't choose to give it to us. We still have to kill that flower to take it. And technically it's hiding it from us.
Pyrethrum is becoming a major tool in the fight against mosquito-borne illnesses, fucking asshole.
It's not that the flower's not giving it to us. It can't be a hero. It's not conscious of the choice to save us. It doesn't know that it's saving us. Technically, we have to kill it and eat it to save us.
No, it's the bug that eats it, and then the bug dies.
The bug does it again. It doesn't choose. A hero chooses.
I don't know. Well, you're right. That's why they gave it to the trash people. But, nonetheless, the yellow center of one of the deadliest flowers is also a lifeline to farmers.
Honestly,
and the planet. So multiple heroes. And thanks, honestly, truly, thank you for all of those people who do good things like that and don't take the money.
You're right.
You never know.
It means a lot. I'm going to read just a couple of very quick emails about butter.
Oh, my God. Didn't we already do the butter roundup?
We did. I know, but there was no other emails this week.
Okay.
Except about butter. So what I'd like this is fucking awesome. Honestly, I love the response. But let's maybe something spooky in there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So this is a general question. The word butter stinkers. Apparently there's a tradition according to other societies that Americans eat straight up butter because butter stinkers is apparently a popular derogative for Americans among the Japanese.
What?
I can't confirm this as I'm not a stupid butter stinker, but maybe there's some Japanese listeners that can confirm.
Butter stinker, I got as far as slurs go about different groups of
it's
people.
Cute.
It's kind of the cutest one I can think of.
Yeah, I'll take it. I guess I'm a little bitty.
I don't know what butter smells like. I don't.
Go to your refrigerator.
I don't have any butter.
This is just another one, man. This is just another thing about butter.
What is it?
I mean, it's just, this is, honestly, I don't even, this is just one saying you should just eat salsa. instead
that's
of butter?
That's nothing to do with it. That's totally, one. It's a non sequitur.
There is another one that just says, again, about a kid eating butter like it is a cob of corn. this is just fun. All of this is just fun.
This has been a horrible episode.
This letter. Okay, we did have one non. Okay, you wanted the one letter that was non-butter related? You want to hear what it is?
It can be about anything.
Oh, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's see if this stays in the show. So this comes from a young person, okay? Oh my God. So Ben, there was one in an episode in Robert picked, and apparently there was a conversation where Henry and Ben ribbed Marcus about having a pen pal that was likely an old dude, right? So I remembered a letter I received as a kid through a pen pal sign up in a girl's magazine called New Moon in 1997 when I was 12 years old. So I didn't see the pictures that were included in this. And we'll have to find those.
Okay.
So this is a letter. So they sent a letter to this person. This is a letter that she received. Dear Amanda, thank you for writing to me. How are you? I am fine. I hope that we will write a lot of letters to each other. I know that sometimes during school that we won't be able to, but just a few lines to let each other us know that we're still alive. Thank you for the picture of your cat and the one that you traced. I put it up on the wall of my room. I spend most of my time at the local swimming pool. What did you do? I went to day camp for 6 weeks. I even saw some boys swimming naked at the camp. That was the first time I had seen a boy naked. Their penises shorted look funny. Have you ever seen a boy naked?
Oh my God.
Can I ask you a question? I got my first bra last week. It's just a training bra, as you can tell by my picture. I didn't really need it. But it's supposed to make you itch.
Oh my gosh.
I hope you don't mind me asking. Being 12, I know you wear one already. What size do you wear?
Oh my
God. How old were you when you got your first bra? The reason I'm asking this is that all my friends my age are already a 32A or bigger. I think I might have to see a doctor because my boobs are not growing yet. What do you think? That's all for now. Write me when you have time. Your friend, Emily.
Emily, P.S. it doesn't.
Here's my picture. P.S. I think my sister is going to write to you. Do you think you could write back to her? Courtney is 10. My sister did indeed receive a letter from Courtney. It was just as messed up as this one, as well as a random pictures of girls playing in a room.
Ugh.
It wasn't until sometime later that we received a letter from New Moon telling us all to cease all communication with anyone claiming to be Emily or Courtney Shoemaker.
Oh, God.
As it was actually an adult male posing as a child.
No shit.
They also said that they were trying to get charges against this person.
Oh, my God.
I still sometimes wonder whatever happened to this random dude with the little girls in the picture that he sent. I kept the letter because it makes for an interesting story, and also because I plan on using it as a tool to teach my kids about strangers on the internet.
Jeez.
So you happy? Not butter.
Not butter. Oh, God. But although he was trying to butter up his next victim, hopefully the person
is
either dead or in prison because... it's disgusting.
I mean, they're probably in elected office at this point.
Yeah, it might be Jared Fogel.
Yeah.
Well, then he'd be in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
It isn't that nice.
He gets out at some point. How long has he been in there for?
I don't know, and I'm just...
He's going to get out at some point.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? I am... wow, that's like a new upsetting thing. I didn't even think about that. Knowing that we're just waiting for that to happen at some point.
It's going to happen.
Wow.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening.
That is great.
And again, thank you all so much for coming out to the shows.
So you got
to
live every day. Like you are an adult with the mind of a child.
No, that's not right. That's an adult with the mind of an adult trying to have sex with a child that is different.
In an innocent way.
Ugh.
So that you just laugh. You laugh and laugh and laugh, almost like you've had a head injury. You're like just the ease of having a head injury, and you laugh and you know that everything's going to be fine because you have a head injury. And you don't know that things are falling apart.
Great.
And you can love the simple life you live. The simple, sweet life.
I mean, you really understand medical science.
This all goes back to the lobotomy series, and I wish they could be there because I just have nothing but Chris Chan up here. I just got to the part where they made her film her.
We're not talking about Chris Chan.
And they reveal they're all 13. We're not
discussing Chris Chan on this show. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. We hope you're happy and healthy and being safe out there.
Yeah, be safe. We'll see. Oh, Detroit, baby.
Yes, come on out.
In 2 weeks, we're going to be in Detroit. We're going to be in Columbus. We're going to be in Cincinnati. The show's only getting so good.
How did Las Vegas become Sin City and not Cincinnati?
I don't know, because I think there's Vegas has a lot of fun things.
Cincinnati has a lot of sin. We were there.
Oh, it does have a lot of, there are sins there.
Yes, there are.
But Detroit, man, we gotta find, where's our people to do this shit? We'll see you in Detroit.
All right, fantastic, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah, hail me, fuckers. Fucking whatever you gotta do.
Eat butter.
God, man, honestly, olive oil is healthier.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.